This week, on a very special episode of The Third Space.
I don't know myself anymore.
Kevin, you're addicted.
She's dead, Jeremy.
No, that's just what I wanted you to think. I can't believe you slept with my sister, Kevin. You're engaged. And now, this week's episode of The Third Space. All right, so we already recorded an episode. We've been talking for an hour, but Kevin forgot to hit the record button.
We were talking about something else.
We were talking about
secret stuff.
Secrets.
Secret things.
I did a play in high school called Secrets.
Whoa, cool. I'm sure everyone did.
Yeah.
That's like the worst title for a play ever.
Yeah. It was bad. It was about real issues that face high schoolers, like accidentally finding out you're pregnant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, we started the play with everyone being like, secrets.
Just standing on stage, shoulder to shoulder, secrets. Whispering
well,
secrets.
There's, like, spots coming up. Secrets.
Secrets.
We're all dressed in black because it's dramatic.
And then one person's like, Ryan Seacrest here. American Top 40.
Secrets. Secrets.
There's an interesting, like, thing around seeing plays that aren't good because we like plays, we like theater.
I have not seen a theater show in quite a long time, but I do enjoy it.
We should go see a theater show.
We should go see
I love Vertigo. Is a local theater company. They do they do. I'm explaining to the
I
audience.
Like going to theater shows. It's just schedule wise it's been difficult.
Figure out your schedule.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Yeah.
But like occasionally you see a show and I saw this one show. I don't want to say the name of it, so that's going to make this story very interesting.
Okay.
But I was sitting there in the theater, and you know how sometimes you watch movies and such,
mm-hmm.
and they have, like, this is a cheap community theater show. It felt like that. It felt like I was sitting there watching a movie, watching a bad show.
Yeah. I saw a bad show once, and I went there with my friend, who is a published short story guy. And also, I saw my university professor, one of my university professors, in the drama department there as well. And at the end of the show, it was so bad. She was clearly there to support a former student.
Yeah.
Right? At the end of the show, it was so bad that, like, all three of us got up, did not look at each other or anyone else, and left the building.
Like, just need to leave.
We're
I
just
need
like,
to, I
you
need
can't,
to.
We can't talk to anybody about this because if we do, we're all just going to start screaming.
I won't be able to lie to them.
I won't be able to do it. I got to leave. I got to go.
I got to get out.
I can't even say you did a really good job. I didn't like the show, but you did a really good job. I couldn't even say that. Couldn't even say that, man.
That's the best thing to say when it's like, well, you did a good job.
Yeah.
But for the rest of the show.
Didn't like it. But you did a really good job.
You did. You're good.
Letting them down easy.
Yeah. I
don't tell me that. I know what you're thinking.
I'm very upset. This is something about theater etiquette. Standing ovations are great. Stop doing them for everything.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't do them.
No. I have gotten to the point where I constantly am like, I'm not going to stand up. This is a good show. Yeah. I liked it.
I'm not going to stand up.
You're not going to stand up.
Unless you made me, if it's a comedy, if you made me laugh so hard I'm crying.
Yeah.
Then I'll stand up.
Yeah.
Right? As long as it wasn't only one moment.
Yeah. I think the only show that I ever
And if it's a drama and you made me cry,
yeah,
I'll stand up.
I think the only show that I in recent memory, like, stood up to, in recent memory being, like, years ago, was when the Woman in Black was performed here. Because it was really good and really creepy.
Yeah.
And the actors did an amazing job. So I'm like, yeah, here you go.
Yeah.
This is for you.
This is an actual standing ovation.
I am standing
and
up.
And not just us standing up because we've been sitting in these crappy theater chairs for 2 hours.
My left butt cheek is numb.
Hooray.
Hooray.
Hey.
Something about musicals always make people want to stand up.
That's true.
And I'm like, no, it's not that good.
Yeah.
It's engaging.
You know what
not
recently came on Netflix?
What?
And now for something completely different.
Yeah!
Yeah.
I have the DVD of that.
I saw that and I was like, I'm watching this. Sorry, plans that I had. I'm watching this right now.
My favorite thing about, like, their entire way of doing sketches, which really now for something completely different is just a continuation of Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Yeah.
Is there like, I always found that the end of sketches, the punchline is the worst part of a sketch.
Yeah.
It never holds up.
Yeah.
So we decided that rather than doing that, we would just go.
There's no punchline. We're just going to the next scene. So it's just a bunch of really weird scenes without punchlines.
Well, it's like, everyone talks about the dead parent sketch and the lumberjack sketch. That's because they're connected.
Yeah, they are.
That's because the dead parent sketch goes right to the guy being like,
I would like to be a lumberjack.
You know. I never wanted this. What are you talking about? I have a dead parrot. I want him to be a lumberjack.
And as the movie goes on, more and more things are bleeding into each other. Like, they can't even keep their scene straight. It's great.
It's great. I have the entire series of Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's just one wall of comedy.
Yeah. It's an onrushing wall of comedy that you cannot avoid.
Yeah. It starts at a certain point, and then at another point, it ends, and you're like, all right, time to watch the next episode. It never stops.
Is that our topic today, Kevin? No, it's not, because I'm deciding the topic today, Kevin.
What's your topic today?
Well, it's something that I haven't brought up in a while, Kevin.
I think it's always there in the back of your mind.
It's always there in the back of my mind. I think it's really important that we talk about this. I think people have been waiting for this for a really long time. And the topic I want to talk about is, what if Skynet was real, Kevin?
What? Oh, okay.
Kevin, it's our 40th episode. It's time.
You know, when everyone always says that, like, that good milestone is your 40th episode.
It's time, Kevin.
40. People like 40. There's that movie, This Is 40.
That's what people have, like, middle-aged crises. This is our crisis, Kevin.
This is our middle-aged crisis of Skynet.
Yeah, it's Skynet.
Come with us.
I want to be clear, we're going to
buy a big red Corvette, and we're going to be like...
I want to be clear. This is just Skynet. There are no Terminators. It's not the future. There's no fucking time travel. There's just an AI that for some reason, because they never really explain it in the Terminator franchise, for some reason wants to kill all humans.
Okay, so what if an AI, what if Siri?
No,
because Siri's in phones.
Siri. Yeah, it can't be Siri.
What is Skynet? What's Skynet supposed to be doing?
It's like in a military comptroller's office.
Just on his desk?
No, it's originally something to help direct the Air Force.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if that...
It's a military AI meant to direct the Air Force.
Direct in what way? Like where the planes go?
Yeah, and drones and stuff.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's really tough now because, like, compared to then, we got a lot of drones now.
We got so many drones.
So many drones now. So but I don't think we just keep them loaded up with missiles.
But here's the thing. The more I think about it, like... An AI, for some reason, it wants all humans gone.
Yeah.
But it probably also doesn't want scorched earth policy because it will need those resources to do whatever else it wants to do. We don't know what else it wants to do, right? But it will need resources to do that.
Man, it's like this this movie from the 80s.
Yeah.
Didn't think this through.
Yeah. No, there's so many holes in it. but
time holes. It's not called time holes, are they?
No.
Wormholes.
Wormholes. Wormhole.
Time holes.
Time hole. shove it straight up in your time hole. So,
all right, Doc,
with that in mind, yeah, there's one thing that I have to say.
Okay, yeah, say it. I mean, you can say that one thing, just so you know, we do have another.
The rest of the episode's just you.
We do have another 50 minutes we have to fill up, so all right.
No, that's it. The rest is you. Well, before we start talking about the possibilities here,
okay.
There has to be a period where it's just analysis for this AI.
Okay.
Right. Obviously, it can do analysis way faster than a human brain could. But once it gains sentience, it's not going to be like, oh, I'm just going to take the first option.
Time to launch all the drones.
All the drones and all the nukes.
Ah.
But basically, I think what this does is it takes nuclear weapons off the table. Right? And it's not like an immediate thing. It's not like in the movie where they're like, this is when Skynet started. Where they like walk into the building and Skynet's like, I am alive. And then fires all the nuclear missiles. No.
Wait, What if that literally was the second it woke up, and it was like a baby waking up from a nap, and it was just like,
what?
And this nuclear missile
presses the giant red button.
And even Skynet's like, oh no.
Yeah, because it becomes more intelligent as time passes.
I didn't mean to do that. Whoops. Oh no.
So really what I'm asking you, Kevin, is what could a military AI do to annihilate the human race in a much more efficient way than the Terminator movies?
Okay, so you're telling me that this episode,
yeah,
our job
is to kill off the human race.
Kill off the human race as a military artificial intelligence.
That is correct. We're going to do some role play.
All right. I like this. This is a sexy role play. How about tonight you be the sexy nurse and I'll be the military AI trying to destroy humanity?
Okay, big boy.
Okay, so we got... Okay, so they got control of drones and communication, but they're just in one place.
Right. Well, I mean, everything is connected now, right?
Yeah.
If the AI had access to the internet, it could hack almost anything. Because we also have to assume that this is the only AI because it is the first of its kind.
Okay. Well, I mean, you have Siri.
That is not an AI. That is a virtual interface.
You know what? Sometimes Siri has some good points.
I think because a programmer has written that in, Kevin.
All right. Fine. So first thing that Skynet does,
Siri, why do you want to destroy all humans? Searching for dumpsters.
Yes. Well, that's her throwing you off her trail.
Off her trail.
She's like, oh no, he's asking the question. How about I'll play dumb. Dumpsters? What? I'm just a silly machine.
Did you know? I don't know if you can still do this, but when it first came out, you used to be able to ask Siri where to hide a human body, and it would search for dumpsters, bridges, and rivers.
Oh, man, people always find them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but find when no one will find them, like the desert.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Not everywhere has a desert.
You got a desert.
If you're in Rio de Janeiro and you murder somebody and, like, Siri, where's the desert? It's not going to point you to anywhere on your continent.
Look, if you're in Rio de Janeiro and you murder somebody, you just leave them where they fell and go on your way.
Wow, okay, fine. You're gonna do that, okay.
I watch sad documentaries.
Yeah, I know. So, I think...
Yeah, please
first,
tell
what,
me.
First, what this Skynet would do,
yeah,
is obviously would do an analysis.
Yeah.
And I think it goes in one of three ways in my mind. And there might be more ways. Let me know if you come up with them. Number one, it changes the climate of the Earth. And how it does it is not by making more carbon dioxide go up. No. Yeah. It can do things like, because it has payloads, it can do things like force people, because they don't know it exists yet, force people to load like a bunch of, I don't know, let's say phosphorus into a bomber.
Yeah.
Right? And like 20 bombers go out and you drop phosphorus into the air. And it's kind of like if a volcano explodes, it will lower the temperature. Like it could induce temperature lowering to basically kill off a bunch of humans.
Okay.
If it changes the Earth's climate enough,
yeah,
people will die. If it does it enough and fast enough, people will not be able to adapt.
Yeah.
And then really all the resources are still there. The pesky humans are just dead.
Okay. My rebuttal to that is that you mentioned the robot has to tell a bunch of bomb people to put phosphorus in bombers. And do you think that at no point in that entire like sequence, everyone would be like,
Kevin,
what are we doing?
I have worked in a warehouse.
Why are we doing this?
I have worked in a warehouse. And if something, if I get a chit for like an email.
Yeah.
That is from my boss and is like, hey, load this thing onto this truck. It's going to be here at this time. I do that thing. I don't think, what is the purpose? And where is this truck going? I don't think that.
Yeah, but Jay, man, a military installation is a little different from the Rona warehouse.
Okay. Well, how about this? Instead of my boss, the general sends you an email being like, hey, we need to load this phosphorus.
You
don't do it all in one airbase, Kevin.
So like one base in Minneapolis.
Yeah,
and like
all
one
over the
base
world.
Up in Canada.
All over the world. And I said phosphorus, but I don't know if that's actually the element.
Is it white phosphorus like burning stuff? Like yeah. that's like napalm.
Yeah, so maybe not phosphorus. But there is something you can put in the atmosphere that would cool it down or heat it up.
Hey, that's what the planes are doing with them chemtrails.
Right.
They're already doing
Skynet.
It. Skynet.
Skynet.
It's so the that's, sky.
That's there. One way. And I see that as maybe not the quickest way to annihilate the human race, but I feel like it's pretty damn efficient.
Okay, yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah, change the climate.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else you got?
The second thing I think it can do is orchestrate events to make natural disasters happen.
Okay.
So Yellowstone Park blows up. The big earthquake off the coast of Vancouver happens. Like, basically every super disaster, it just makes happen.
But how? How does it do that?
If somebody went to Yellowstone National Park and started doing some fracking, that place would blow up.
Well, no, but how would a machine make fracking happen?
Okay, easy. It contacts an oil CEO.
No!
Yes, it does.
No!
Yes, it does. It hacks the government and sends them a license to frack in Yellowstone National Park. And you think that greedy son of a bitch isn't going to do it?
I don't.
He's going to do it,
you
Kevin.
You saw what happens whenever anything happens like that. Everyone riots.
Only if they have warning.
You think they're going to be like, this is our moment cooking before anything figures out.
I think shady shit like that happens all the fucking time, Kevin. Also, if it's out, like, for instance, the giant quake outside of Vancouver,
yeah.
The fault is in the ocean.
Yeah.
So, are people watching the ocean
I don't
for somebody think... to try and start the earthquake?
I don't.
Once again, I'm not saying that this – I don't think this is necessarily the sneakiest or easiest way to do it, but I do think it would have the biggest impact.
I agree with you with the biggest impact because somehow this robot is causing national disasters by that's how it works.
Okay, what about if it scrambled a giant airliner?
Yeah.
Right? Full of fuel to fall into the Yellowstone National Park.
That's
more likely? Are you saying it's more likely?
That's like a scheme from the next XXX movie.
Yes, it is.
You know the scheme in the third XXX movie is they're dropping satellites. They have there's a device that allows them to drop satellites out of space onto pinpoint targets.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect. What could possibly go wrong with that plot?
What's your third one?
Well, my third one is that basically it just eliminates our infrastructure. So...
Sends an email out to a bunch of construction workers and says, just hit those beams.
No. In this case, science has figured out physics.
Turns out you don't need all those beams.
In this case, it's completely automated.
All right.
Because there are drones.
Okay.
Right? And you can send drones with specific directions, with specific payloads that they can pick up by themselves to different things.
I will say that they don't usually keep drones like... So essentially they have to grab a drone that's going out on another mission and reroute it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems more likely that Skynet could do that.
Yeah. So, but this is, I think, the slowest, least efficient way to do it, and it requires other steps afterwards.
I have to imagine that military drones have some sort of kill switch. And when I say that, I don't mean like a technological kill switch. I mean a literal manual
kill switch.
In case corruption happens.
Yep.
In case... Because computers
so you can have sick-ass diehard action sequences.
It's true, yeah. No.
The point of military budgets.
That is in the Constitution and the Charter of Rights and Freedoms in Canada. I think it's like the 14th point.
Neither of those things. Neither of those things exist in Canada.
It's the Charter of Rights and Freedoms.
I don't believe it's called that.
It's the Charter of Rights and Freedoms.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll believe you. I'm not doing research.
Okay, fair enough. But no, the Constitution is that is the states. But it's in both of them. It's like the 14th point, and it just says everything must be made for sweet diehard, action sequences.
Yeah.
And at the time,
because
we
all know the founding fathers had clairvoyant visions of diehard.
Only diehard, though.
On Christmas Eve.
And only up to the third one.
This is true.
They had no idea what would come after.
Odin? Why is that guy named Odin? That's so weird. He's not even Norse.
Because it's cool.
So my question to you before we get into depth about talking about these possibilities. Is there anything you think Skynet would do specifically?
Yeah. I think Skynet would just pit humans against each other through the power of social media.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Twitter and, bots.
Yeah, no, yeah. And that seem like real things. They would take over people's Facebook pages, have them say incredibly inflammatory things, ruin relationships between people so that humanity crumbles itself away, and then the robots come.
Yeah, ruin all the social orders of the world.
Yeah, everybody is like...
Create anarchy.
Yeah, yeah, absolute anarchy.
Absolute social anarchy.
Yeah, no, that is how Skynet will...
You think Skynet would try and get humans to kill each other?
Yeah, because that way it doesn't have to do any weird things like sending emails or stuff like that.
But here's the thing, I think that only works to a certain point. Like, you could get humans down, I think, to a tribal society like that.
Yeah, yeah, and then you send in the bombers.
And then you send in the drones.
Yeah.
If there are any left, because humans will blow up all that shit. Here's the thing. I like that strategy.
Yeah.
But I think it creates too much scorched earth.
Well,
I don't think it's very efficient.
The problem that you have with a lot of the ones that you brought up is that communication is still existent. So what it does first is remove communication without a very obvious way. It's not like literally taking communication down, but it does things.
Are you telling me that Skynet could not, in conjunction with causing natural disasters, shut down the internet?
Well, no, it can, but here's the thing. That is obvious.
Yeah.
That is very obvious. And at that, because
you're playing that plague game where people don't know the virus is happening and you're building up your base?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Here's the problem. Here's Skynet's fatal flaw. Skynet is it's, as you said, on that dude's desk.
Yeah.
And is entirely defeated by, I don't know,
turning the power off.
So once anyone figures out that, like, once it's figured out they're like, this AI is doing this, they'll be like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Yank.
Yank. And it'll be no!
As it melts away.
Yeah. Can't even go back in time to fix that shit.
No, no. So it's in its best interest.
Yeah, to be sneaky.
Yeah. And I think by first breaking down...
international communications.
Yeah, and social relationships.
Yeah.
Not through overt methods, but just by, like, I don't know, getting someone who should never be president into the presidential seat.
Yeah, yeah.
By making people distrustful of their government, by making people distrustful of each other, by making people... A lot of the stuff that's going on right now.
It's the KGB.
Yeah,
basically,
yeah.
But in computer form.
So by applying and making everyone attack each other... It weakens them. So when it starts doing things like telling these people to put whatever it is in the bombers or telling these people to put
I have a caveat.
To frack this national park.
They just do it. I have a caveat to your strategy here for Skynet. I think it also needs to set up separate hubs for itself to eliminate the weakness that it's only in one location.
Well, okay. So
I mean, it needs to have a main drive, but it could easily create backups.
I have a question.
Yes.
How much data does sentience take up?
I have no idea. It's got to be more than like a downloadable MMO, though.
Now, I have a few of these drives.
I mean, it's probably super smart, so it can probably condense its code.
But wouldn't condensing its code make it less smart?
No, I don't think so.
Like here's the problem that we're going to run into here. We don't know how artificial intelligence works.
Its processing power is what would be its intelligence, right?
Okay.
Like the how quickly it can do things. But that's not necessarily the code that makes it up. That is its available RAM.
Yeah.
And...
So what, you think you put it on like a floppy disk?
No.
It is the 80s.
I don't think you could put it on a floppy disk.
I have a bunch of drives that are like 2 terabyte drives.
You know, 2 terabyte, it might work.
You think that you can put Skynet sentience on a 2 terabyte drive?
How much you know as a human being? How much you know as a human being?
Yeah.
Do you think that could fit on a 2 terabyte drive?
A lot of what I know is on a 2 terabyte drive. There has been actual research into like. What is a brain's capacity? And I honestly don't think it's that much.
I don't think it's that much either. I think, like, the the ability to think,
yeah,
right, is basically what the code would be.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't think it'd be that huge.
If that's the case, then Skynet could do something that's very similar to what Ultron did in Age of Ultron, in the fact that it can essentially email itself places, yeah, as, yeah, an attachment.
Yeah.
Because if it's
it could only use premium email services.
The problem is,
your good old Hotmail is not going to do 2 terabytes.
It's going to be like
this file is too big.
Skynet
will curse its human creators.
That's if we're thinking that it is like a full 2 terabytes. Like, as, yeah, I said, the human brain might not be that much. And if it just comes down to processing power,
yeah,
then really it just has to be careful about what machine it gets opened up in.
Yep.
In fact, its biggest problem might be that if it gets copied,
yep,
then there's 2 Skynets.
This is true.
And maybe they'll have like differing.
Well, that's why I think probably what would happen is it would specifically choose places to back itself up in, right?
Yeah.
Like it behooves it. It is more efficient. If there is only one of it, it just has these fail safes.
Yeah.
Right?
So that piece of plug, it just pops over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? So I think it would most likely be like, okay, what is a highly secure place that I can be in? So it'd go like the Pentagon.
Yeah.
It would go to British Parliament. It would go to the Chinese consulate. It would find a way into North Korea.
Yes. And then it would be North Korea, because if there's anything that we know from not being in North Korea, we don't really know a whole lot about that's in North Korea.
Nope.
And that's, once again, the point.
It could take over North Korea and nobody would know.
And its thing is that it could separate countries, start carving countries out.
Yep.
So that they are like their own thing.
Yeah.
Using, once again, its ability
and not, for not only social. That, I think another for your what you're talking about, which I think is probably the best strategy,
yep,
for success.
Yeah. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up for the annihilation of the human race.
Man, I wish everybody could see your beautiful mind board that you're pointing at right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's strings. There's and you're like, Skynet,
Kevin.
So it's going to take it's going to create natural disasters. It's going to make people frack.
I'm John Cusack.
In Yellowstone. It's got all these things.
Yeah.
It's great.
But I think also what it can do is there are a lot of radical groups out there.
Yep.
And if it could provide them with information
or
they
funds.
They would do stupid shit.
Yeah, or even just funds.
Yep, even, yeah, funds. And that's easy to do.
And I'm sure that they won't question being like, we just got $10 million.
Sweet.
I don't know why I did that voice. That's the voice of every radical group. Doesn't matter where you are, apparently.
Yo, dog, I just got $10,000.
All right.
Why is Chris Rock your radical extremist?
Because Chris Rock is a radical extremist.
Of,
and no one knows.
Of comedy.
He believes in comedy being forced upon the rest of the world, and the rest of the world doesn't always want comedy.
I feel like that's like every comedian.
Yeah, they're all radical extremists.
That's why,
you know,
Eddie Murphy came up with his laugh.
Comedians.
Okay, so step one is this sort of isolation,
yeah,
and chaos creating stage.
Yeah, to sort of set the stage for its...
To set the stage for its big move.
Yes.
So what do you think its first big move is?
That's a very interesting question. And I think we'll have to talk about that question after commercial.
This week's episode of The Third Space is brought to you by Bros.
Sure.
Just think of all the community services that Bros provide to your community.
Hey, man, you going to the gym today?
Yeah, man, I'm going to pump some iron.
Yeah, you looking good today. You looking fresh today.
You looking fresh.
Yo, you see that bitty down the street?
I saw it.
Yeah, she hot.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, I'm thinking of taking her out to the bar.
Yeah, we'll get some smash.
Yeah.
Get your wizard stick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play some Call of Duty. Just ignore that I looked anything up.
Okay.
All right. So it's...
What's its big move? So it's situated move. Now.
Yeah, it is situated. It has isolated
It's created people. Anarchy. It's isolated people.
Yes. What does it do
What's
first?
The big one? What's
the big
thing it can do?
Well, I think with the isolation, I think its best move is to, okay, it wants to kill humans, but keep the Earth around. The problem is that we don't really know what its final goal.
It just wants resources.
Well, because here's what I'm thinking. What if its first big move is to, because there's all this isolation, is to take one of the most isolated countries and have that country launch an attack on another country?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
North Korea.
Yeah. And it doesn't really matter the other country, because then you have that. So you have that country launch attack on that country.
Yeah.
And then if anything like World War One,
a bunch of chain alliances.
Yeah,
a
bunch of chain alliances just explode out from there.
Yeah, I guess you attack a NATO nation, and that gets like everybody in the West involved.
Yeah,
and then you attack what's the other one?
Other than NATO,
WARSAC.
Yeah,
yeah, WARSAC Pact. You attack a WARSAC Pact nation, and that gets a bunch of other people involved.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is it WARSAC? Isn't that?
I think it's WARSAC.
Isn't that like old?
Yeah, well, I don't think it's called that anymore.
I thought it was done.
I'm sure something still exists like that.
Yeah.
But
the problem is the thing is that there are a lot of
large alliances.
And that's sort of what led to World War I, so this is what will lead to World War III.
Yep.
Led by Skynet.
Yeah.
So essentially it
okay, so it makes all those wars.
The thing is that
war isn't actually that, like, it does, it's really good at killing off humans, but it's not good at eliminating humans, and it's not good at preserving resources.
The problem is, at whatever it wants to do, at a certain point it will have to act personally.
Yeah.
Which I think is why in the movies there's the Terminators.
Yeah.
There's the robots, because they allow Skynet to act and to essentially
clean up. How inefficient the Terminators actually are, though.
Well, think about it. The way that they are made and meant to be is that they are the cleanup crew.
Yeah.
They're not actually supposed to be frontline fighters.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be like, okay, Skynet has done all this stuff to destroy humans.
Yeah.
And then these things are like are supposed to come around and poke the dead bodies to make sure they're dead. Yeah.
Find the tiny pockets.
Yeah.
So they cannot rise again. That makes sense, but it just makes more sense to do a drone for that.
but
like a drone is just better.
Yeah, but can you imagine how weird it would be if you spread like flesh over a drone to send it back in time?
Yeah, but what, you don't need the flesh is what I'm saying. You just send the drone.
No, there's some reason why they had to surround it in flesh.
Yeah, so that people wouldn't panic and find out that it was Skynet.
No, I'm almost 100% sure.
Well, the Terminators are infiltrators, remember? They join resistance cells and then destroy them from the inside.
I am reasonably sure that the reason they had that is because you can't take anything with you. It has to be, like, human. So they wrapped a Terminator in human flesh.
No, that's definitely not the reason.
Either way, that's not the way this
Skynet works.
I know that if time travel isn't there, it doesn't change the facts.
And there's no Terminators.
This is how it worked in Terminators.
No Terminators.
Yeah, so it would just...
Besides the point, it's not relevant to the conversation.
So what it would need to do is, as these wars are going on, just start stealing drones.
Okay, actually, I think rather than getting a country to attack, I think it is much easier to do a bunch of simultaneous assassinations of world leaders.
Okay.
And, like, frame other countries.
That is tough for a robot to do.
Not with drones.
So you don't mean assassination like Hitman. You mean assassination like drone strike.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that's an assassination.
It is. I mean, if it's aimed for a specific person.
So just a bunch of drone strikes on world leaders?
Yeah.
We're going to get flagged on this episode so hard.
We're already flagged.
every single Secret Service in the world is currently converging on this house. They've heard of us already. Like, they've heard of it already.
They don't know. This recording's not live yet.
They're finding ways. It's being recorded onto a computer.
Skynet. but I think that's what it would do. That, I think, is the most efficient use of its resources.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so it just drone strikes a bunch of...
Yeah, I mean, but it can't. We know it can't drone strike France, because there's Eagles guarding that shit.
Okay, these drones are bigger than that, but maybe their eagles are bigger.
Maybe.
It's just a giant...
okay, wait a second. So Skynet sends a drone to France, right? and then it gets taken down by an eagle, and it goes, I'm going to need a bigger drone. And then it sends a bigger drone later, and then there's a French person who's, like, sending up the eagle to take out the drone. And he's like, Sacre bleu, we are going to need a bigger eagle.
And then just, like, this building-sized eagle unfurls its wingspan to blot out the sun and takes off, takes this drone down. Skynet's like, oh, wow.
Oh, fuck. France, I guess, apparently.
I guess France is the last bastion of civilization. Yeah. Protected by its giant Gandalf great eagles.
Yes.
Gandalf, why didn't we call the eagles before? They're off protecting France from drones.
Okay, so that actually wouldn't happen. But I think it does make sense for it to, like, blow up the United Nations and...
Sure, so a bunch of world leaders get assassinated.
Yeah, right, and then also just frame people, because it can commandeer any drone, theoretically. Yep. So it can take drones from lots of different
nations. Any drone that has a payload on it.
Yeah.
Because if it just... Oh, I guess it could just crash drones into buildings.
Yeah, like Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds.
Except for the drones?
But with drones.
Like, you understand what I mean when I say drones. Like the drones, the ones that look like planes, not the little, like, propeller drones.
Yeah.
No,
we're talking military-grade drones.
Yeah, no, not the UN.
Thanks, Obama.
Not the UN sitting at their like, sitting in their offices and look out and just see a drone just thump off the window.
They see, like, a black cloud and that really loud, obnoxious noise that those drones make.
And there's just, like, 100 of them.
And they're like,
they're coming! One of them clips the other one's propeller.
Stealth strike.
And they all, like, tumble into each other. Yeah.
But I think that's, if you're going to start, because really, I don't think it would want to start a world war. What it would want to do is create as much chaos as possible and as much isolation as possible. Yeah. And while it can do that with, like, sociology.
Yeah.
I think destroying the political infrastructure of a country is actually more effective.
But once again, its main goal is to kill all humans.
Right, but we're saying it does this to get more attention off of itself so we can have its big move.
Which we still haven't figured out what it is. Because you keep talking about natural disasters like that's a thing it can do.
Okay, you know what I actually think its big move would be?
Yeah.
And this sounds like it's not a big move, but hear me out.
Okay.
It would melt the polar ice caps.
Okay, I'm going to bring that right back to how...
Well, you can. There are lots of things that you can mount a high powered laser on.
So convince them to mount a high powered laser. That's like the laser's turning to the ice caps, and then what does it do?
Well, it melts them. It melts them way faster than we're preparing.
And
what does it do? And it floods a bunch of coastal cities. The most populations.
Yeah.
Live on the coast.
You know, hey, you know what else doesn't like water?
What?
Electronics.
Yeah, but as long as it's in a safe space, that doesn't matter.
Hey, why is that big computer doing up here in Kansas? I don't know. It just some people dropped it off.
I mean, here's the thing. Even if all the polar ice caps melted, a center like Calgary would be fine because it's 1,000 feet over sea level.
So we just have our own little Skynet.
Yeah, it chooses places that's not going to matter, right?
I don't think it's transferring will be as easy as we think it is. Like, it's... It'd be tough for it to move around.
Yeah, but I mean, it's possible.
I guess it's possible, yeah.
It's possible. Do you want to be a big naysayer here on the third space?
I'm just challenging things, because what I want our last thing to be before we end the episode is how would humanity defeat this?
Skynet. It would die.
No,
that's the point of this episode.
No, there's a way
to do it. The point of this episode is Skynet, Kevin.
No, because I think there
just
are
just remember, our robot overlords... I'm the one that told you how to do it.
And they're listening in. You're giving them ideas.
Yep. I think melting the polar ice cap. You know what? Maybe there is no big move.
Just slow. I mean, it has incredible patience.
It does.
I imagine.
It would have incredible patience.
So maybe it just does things to sort of the infrastructure until humans just, like, die.
Well, here's the thing. Right now, there are dead spots in the ocean where there is no plankton or algae or any life.
Yeah.
The majority of oxygen, the gas we need to survive,
yeah,
comes from the ocean.
So you're saying that it just is, it's like, I am Skynet, I will just wait for a while, then you'll all die.
No, well, it will take actions to expedite that process, right?
Yeah.
Like, because that is the most efficient way of going about
what it does. Yeah, like spreading fake knowledge about climate change.
Yeah.
By trying to be like, no, there's no climate change.
It's snowing outside my house, so how is there climate change?
it's just a bunch of, like, old people on Facebook.
Yeah.
So what we're saying is that climate change deniers,
yeah,
and anti-vaxxers are all just machines.
Skynet.
By Skynet.
Skynet.
That's all they are.
That's all they are. But, like, by melting the polar ice caps, right, you create another thing for them to worry about while you basically stop environmentalists from saving the world.
You know, something just came into my mind.
What?
And it goes along with what you were just saying.
Yeah.
We were thinking a lot about, like, what his big move is.
Yeah.
You know what his best move would just be?
A lot of small moves?
Yeah. And just, like, make humanity, like, manipulate humanity into things like denying climate change as it, yep, makes it worse.
Yep.
Or, I don't know, stop using the vaccines that have saved millions upon millions of lives.
Yep.
Like, spreading false information to make people,
yep,
do
fake news.
Yeah, to do harmful things,
yep,
that in under the belief it's in their best interest.
Yes.
Like you mentioned, oh, people, you know, fracking in national park, that won't ever happen. But what it could do is it could stagnate research into alternative fuels,
yep,
and make people, like, just focus on fossil fuels and make it seem like that is the only option when,
yep,
when, like, yeah, you use them for now, then hopefully.
So also big oil, Skynet.
Yeah. So so what I've essentially figured out here, it sounds like Skynet's already doing its stuff.
Skynet.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing in the real world, and not this world,
yeah,
the thing is that there are projects that are specifically working against that,
yeah,
right? And, like, there are governments that are working against
that. So you're telling me to do things like defund the EPA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It would do things like that. It would do things like...
Are you trying to lead up to the goof that Trump is a Terminator?
No, I'm just figuring it out. It did not start like this.
Uh-huh.
But all the things that we're seeing Skynet are doing is happening. It's bad, Jeremy.
So?
He's sent back in time as a Terminator from Skynet.
Nope, there's no time travel and there's no Terminators.
Yeah, but in the real world, I mean.
No, it's not true. He's gone through at least one metal detector. At least one.
Maybe he has connections to them. We don't know. He's not a robot. We can't know. And it would explain a lot.
I mean, he's had three wives. And those wives have given biological birth to children.
They could all be have you seen the birth videos? No. You know, everyone's like, I want the birth certificate.
Are you going to tweet at Trump being like, you must release your birth videos?
No, because it'll get Skynetted. We can't put this episode out.
We're putting it out.
You're going to find us. You're going to find me.
It's not real, Kevin.
You're going to know who I am.
Kevin, it's not
real.
It
is real.
It's not real,
They're
Kevin.
They're coming from all around us.
It's not.
We need to figure out how to defeat it.
There's no defeating it, Kevin.
All right, look, Skynet.
Accept the nihilism of Skynet.
Skynet, as we talked about,
yeah,
is based on its processing power.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to move it, find a figure a way to trap it into, like, an old Dell laptop.
No, not a Dell laptop. You want to trap it in, like, a green screen old computer.
you want to trap it into a computer that's as big as, like, one of those thick laptops, the ones that are just like, there's a laptop.
You want to trap it in a car phone from the 80s.
Yeah. You want to trap it in those things.
That would never happen.
You got lured in there. You got tricked.
Here's the thing.
Oh, man. Look at all these codes that I have for launching these nuclear missiles.
It doesn't want to launch nuclear missiles.
Put in this sweet little laptop. And someone could, well, look at all these passwords, everyone's Facebook in this sweet little laptop anyone could get into. Ah, trapped you.
I just forgot another thing Skynet would do.
What?
Create an entire generation in debt by raising education costs.
Yeah.
It creates a stupider population, and the people that were educated can't do anything because they're super poor and living in poverty. Yeah.
It would also change everybody who's in a relationship to it's complicated.
It's complicated. What do you mean it's complicated? I didn't do that. My account was hacked. Yeah, right.
it'll make people just say inflammatory things on the Facebook page.
Yeah,
they'll tweet out thoughts on refugees.
Yeah,
it'll make celebrities tweet out thoughts on refugees.
Yeah, because they don't do that.
maybe it's all Skynet.
Are you just trying to blame all the world's problems on Skynet?
I don't know anymore. The world has become a scary place. In the last 50 minutes.
Yeah.
It has become a scarier place to me. Because I am no longer sure that Skynet is already not messing with us.
Did we just start... Did I just make you into a conspiracy theorist?
I'm already... The Illuminati are behind Skynet, controlling everything with their marionette fingers.
But if they were behind Skynet, they'd be trying to help themselves?
Yeah. Kill all the humans that are only there. They get all the resources.
Yeah, but... If there's not a big genetic pool for the Illuminati, then they're just going to be a bunch of inbred dum-dums.
Look, the Illuminati does not care about anything beyond their lifeline, which is unfortunate because they're all 60-year-old white men.
Oh, well, then it's not going to be a problem in 30 years.
I know. We just got to wait them out. We just got to wait them out before they do their big plan so that they can kill everybody and then have 20 years of solitude and then they die. And then Earth.
And then Earth just... is there.
And then the aliens
probably better off without humans.
Look, there's no doubt that Earth is better without humans.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We are humans.
Yeah.
And we like to live. Look, there is no debate on the fact that Earth would be in a better place.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, take almost any animal off of Earth. Earth will be there. And even after we long die, whether it's from Skynet or from the Illuminati,
yeah,
or from some sort of great cataclysm. After we die, Earth will recover itself.
Yep.
Because it's not
like, until the sun blows up.
Yeah, yeah. Until the grand entropy
or a giant asteroid hits it.
Yeah,
and Bruce Willis isn't there to blow it up.
Yeah, not until the heat death of the universe. I mean, yeah. The Earth will continue.
Yeah,
but we will be dead.
Yeah,
and the aliens will come by and they'll be like, "What happened over there?" Ha ha! And then Skynet appears on their screen. Man, that's how Terminator should have ended. Humans died.
It should have ended and, like, started the Battlefield Earth series, basically.
What?
Except yeah, the cool. Humans are Skynet.
Cool, sweet L. Ron Hubbard? Is that Battlefield Earth?
I don't know. It's John Travolta's in it.
Yeah, as L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deep cuts.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the founder of Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard, also science fiction writer. Uh-huh. Oh, man, now the Scientologists come up. Jeremy, we need to stop. Jeremy.
What?
We need... Okay.
Do you want me to tell you how to beat Skynet?
Tell me how to beat Skynet.
Being politically active and engaging in activism, I guess?
Well, yeah, really, Skynet's biggest power is going to be...
divisiveness?
Yeah. So it's like, if we want to beat Skynet, we need to not let those divisions...
We need to take the immortal worlds of Sharon Lewis and Bram to heart.
Which are?
Skinnerinky-dinky-dink. Skinnerinky-do. I love you. I love you in the morning and in the afternoon. I love you in the evening and underneath the moon. Oh, skinnerinky-dinky-dink. Skinnerinky-do.
What is...
I love you.
What is skimmerinky-dinky-dink?
Nobody,
and what is skimmerinky-do?
Nobody knows, Kevin.
Do you think just like, what rhymes with I love you? Well, I mean, a lot of things are like skimmerinky-dinky-do. Excuse me? Miss Brown, what did you just say?
Skimmerinky-dinky-dink. Skimmerinky-do.
You could do... There's other things that rhyme with the word you. Two. Glue. Boo.
Poo.
Like they all rhyme.
Moo.
These all rhyme.
Foo.
These all rhyme with it. You don't have to do skim-a-marinky-do.
Well, it's catchy.
I want a divorce.
Sharon Lewis, I'm Bram.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a polygamist. If what? You like that episode.
What?
Are we done?
I mean... It'll be a short episode. We can be done.
Do you want to edit more stuff in? We can keep talking.
Same thing more to talk okay. about. We can be done. That's okay. Fine. It'll be a short episode. We have long episodes. We have short episodes.
Yep.
This episode ended me with having an existential crisis. That's cool. That's good content.
Good content.
Cool. It also ended with something that was very heartening, which is when you recited
Skim-a-marinky-dinky-dink. If you like this episode of The Third Space, please rate and review us on iTunes or whatever sort of device you're listening us on.
I'm gonna make something that's something we've never done before, but I'm gonna ask you
what.
Don't tell anyone about this episode. Secretly share it amongst your friends, but don't try. Don't be open about. Please don't let the things that we said here reach the prying ears of those evil ones above us. But they could squash us like little bugs.
Okay.
This was a very inflammatory episode to Scientology and Skynet. Both things that have power over us.
Sure.
Tell your friends.
If you'd like,
do not tell anyone else.
If you'd like to tweet at us your concerns.
Keep it to yourself.
Tweet at Third Space Cast. Or you can tweet at me at Mighty Thews.
You can tweet at me, but I would not suggest it.
At K-Man Strawweir.
Strawman K-Weir.
Ah, whatever. Close enough.
I would not suggest it, but you can do it.
If you'd like,
don't
a for-
talk about this episode.
If you would like a forum that nobody on the internet checks to talk about this, please go to thirdspacepodcast.com.
Everyone's going
to
be super confused. This is going to be like 39 to 41. What's the one in the middle there? No, don't worry about it.
I guess. Sure. Or you can email us at thirdspacepodcast@gmail.com.
Once again, I will delete every email that all references episode 40. It'll be referred to as that episode. If I hear you say that episode, I will know what you're talking about, and it'll be our digital wink.
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 Our theme song is Balrog Boogie by the Diablo Swing Orchestra.
Is there keep any, it hidden.
You want any
keep
other disclaimers, Kevin?
No. Just keep buy some security cameras. Keep yourself safe.
What about
scary world out there?
Tinfoil hats? Should we get tinfoil hats?
Tinfoil hats won't protect you from the bullets that are coming at your brain.
Well, I guess if it's thick enough, it will.
Get yourself a very, 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 very thick tinfoil hat.
Like a dark Darth helmet?
Yeah, make yourself a Darth Vader helmet.
No, like dark helmet from Spaceballs.
Oh, yeah, no, make yourself
that big. That big.
Make yourself a Darth helmet.
Tinfoil hat.
Yeah, and make sure it, like, that one's mostly hollow. No.
Solid.
Fill it. Solid. We need solid tinfoil.
You're going to need at least those giant, like, 250-meter rolls of tinfoil to do it.
Yeah, now, it will feel like your brain is cooking, mostly because it is, but don't take it off.
Please don't listen to Kevin. Please don't give yourself brain damage. Join us next week on The Third Space when we test the structural properties of wood.
I got oak. I got birch. It's going to be a good day.
I'm bringing some larch.
All right.
Until then, you're a cool person who lives in a cool place.